Welcome to Focus on the Community, produced by the DLC Media News Center. I'm Dave Crooks. Today, my special guest is Dr. Robert Hayworth, superintendent of the Vigo County School Corporation. Born and raised in Indianapolis, Dr. Hayworth came to Terre Haute in 2018 after being the superintendent at Elkhart Schools in Valparaiso. He has worked in Warsaw as well as Springs Valley and French Lick. He has worked in Kansas City for the National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics. He earned his bachelor's degree at Greenville College, his master's degree at Indiana University Southeast, and a doctorate in education at Indiana State University. Rob and his wife Amy have two grown adult children, and Dr. Hayworth, welcome to Focus on the Community.
Dave, thanks for having me.
Now, for full disclosure to our listeners, we're actually recording this on Tuesday morning this week, and I want to mention that since I know you've got a meeting coming up Thursday night where we won't know some of the results of that meeting, so just making sure the public knows what we're up to. But you've had a busy, not only night on Monday night with the tough decision regarding Meadow Schools. Let's go ahead and jump into that topic first. By a vote of 5-2 on Monday night this week, the school board voted to close and repurpose Meadows Elementary in Terre Haute. And share with our listeners, especially those who may have not been following this as close as those parents who have kids affected, why was this a decision necessary in your view?
Yeah, when you think about the genesis of what happened last night, you really have to go all the way back to 2020, where in January of 2020, our board did two things. They passed a strategic spending cuts plan, and then 1 week later embedded that plan into a strategic plan. They realized that two things, that cash balance had been at a rapid rate since 2016, falling off our books to the tune of about $4 to $5, then to $7 million annually. And then I think our board recognized another piece that, you know, if you went to school in Vigo County in the 1980s, it was pretty tough to get around the halls because there were 18,000 students that were roaming the halls of Vigo County schools. And today there's just over 13,000. So our board put in place a number of different spending cuts. One thing that we realized is that at that point we had 18 elementary schools. And when you think about the state of Indiana and some of your larger schools, we were having housed students in as many elementaries as you would find in a Fort Wayne or in a South Bend. I think we were maybe fourth or fifth on the state list in terms of elementaries, which in the 1980s was probably needed. Today, with enrollment of, again, just over 13,000, I think this board realized that we have to put a plan together that reduces the impact on the educational fund. Really, there's four schools that are involved. When you think about 3 years ago, in the beginning of this plan, the board voted to repurpose the McLean Alternative Learning Center. It was done in accordance with the strategic plan. Then last year, they voted to do two more. One was Deming Elementary, and one was West Vigo Elementary. And then again, following a unanimously approved plan, that leads to a Meadows closure here in the near future.
And the total enrollment at Meadows right now is what?
Well, when you think of total number of students that reside in their current district, it's a little over 107. However, there's over 200 students that are in that building. Some are on permits from other parts of the district to attend there, and then for some other programming reasons.
So they'll be going to what other schools now? They'll be absorbed by which schools?
Yeah, so when you think about what we've done last year, when we took and repurposed two elementaries, we found those neighboring elementaries that also had space. And At one point, we had 8 elementaries that had 300 students or less in their hallways, built for much more in terms of enrollment, many more students. And so these particular students, they will go to Davis Park Elementary, Devaney Elementary, a Lost Creek Elementary, and then Franklin Elementary.
Okay, so split 4 ways then, each school's going to absorb roughly 50 students, it sounds like.
Yeah, the math doesn't totally work out that way. Some will absorb more, some will absorb less, really depending upon where they live within that district school boundaries.
You know, I don't have a dog in this fight, but I noticed watching on YouTube your meeting on Monday night, and obviously a lot of parents upset about this decision, and I've witnessed this type of thing for 40-plus years in other school corporations, and you're always going to have people very emotionally attached to their grade school in their community. Yeah. It's never an easy decision, but but apparently enrollment is a big issue, not only with your school corporation, but many others, because the way the state legislature now has designed how much you get in each corporation, I mean, that money truly does follow the child is called the ADM. And what does the ADM stand for these days?
Average daily membership, of which ours is declining right now.
And if I remember right, that's somewhere between, what, $6,000 and $7,000 per child, I guess, when the state compensates you for that?
Yep, that is correct.
Okay.
And then that goes into our education fund, and that education fund is what funds teachers. And so our struggle and our desire to right-size the district is to do that so that more of those education funds go into the pockets of our teachers.
Thursday night, which of course that will be in pass by the time this show is aired, but what is happening at this meeting coming up this week regarding the future of Vigo County schools and what needs to happen to take care of the current buildings and such?
Yeah, again, going back to that strategic plan that was passed in January of 2020, what was asked was that of the administration was to identify a plan that we could address high school facilities. The north and south buildings are 50 years of age, and west, its building is, I think, 60 years of age. So in that process of developing a strategic plan, we also knew that there would be a time where we would be asking our community, what do we want to do with our high schools? And so on Thursday night, after really a year-long process of talking with our community, you know, I think our board is going to decide on one of three things. And one of those would be an option of a referenda that really just focuses on the high school. The second would be a referenda that brings much-needed facelifts and academic space to our high schools, but also then serves the other elementaries that we have and the other middle schools that we have. And then their third option is to not support either one of those measures and just using available capital projects dollars to address those issues.
It's amazing to me, as I was growing up, you know, North and South seemed like state-of-the-art facilities when I was in high school. That's been a long time ago. But what's the biggest challenges with all three of your high schools right now when it comes to addressing their physical needs, I guess, of those buildings?
Well, it's really the things you don't see. It's infrastructure. It is.
I'm guessing the roofs, flat roofs.
Yeah, I think that's maybe one of the very first things anybody ever said to me when I arrived in Vigo County is, what are you going to do with the flat roofs? So obviously that's an issue. It's the infrastructure, it's the plumbing, it's the heating and cooling, it's those things that you don't see. But it's also some other things. We have a number of classrooms within those buildings that receive no natural light during the day. We have a number of buildings, classrooms within those buildings that don't meet today's standards for square footage within a facility, within the framework of a classroom. It's outdated equipment. It's everything that you can imagine. As you would walk into that building in 1972, it still very much looks and feels like that 1972 building. You know, if you think about, you know, what's changed in our lives since 72, I don't think many of us still have a rotary phone. I don't think many of us even have a flip phone.
Right.
I think technology has changed in our own lives that have caused us to do different things within our homes. And I think that same type of message can be applied here. You know, if I were to offer you a brand new Ford Mustang, fully loaded, or if I were to offer you a 1972 Ford Mustang that we would completely restore, both would have a significant price tag, but that 72 would still not have a cup holder.
Sure.
You know, there's right. things that would be, even if we fully restored it, there would be some things that it didn't have. And so our hope with the options that are in front of the board is that we are able to update those facilities for 2022 and have those in place for the next 35, 40 years for the generations to follow.
So depending on what the board decides in this week's meeting on Thursday, again, that's already happened by the time listeners hear this program, price tag would range from what to what, would you say?
Yeah, so in option one, that's a $160 million referenda. For the average homeowner in Vigo County, that would be $3 more a month in their property tax bill. For the $260 million referenda, that would be a $7 a month ask on a property tax bill. I would say this, though, I think we all realize this. In a referenda, everyone pays. So it's just not the property owner. So, you know, you have to think about the impact of a business owner. You have to think about the impact of a farmer. My job is to put the question out there, and the real job is, what do our voters want to go in, and how do they want to answer that question? If the board approves on Thursday, you know, that'll be the next phase, is educating our community in terms of what does this mean to you and your pocketbook, so that when you walk in to cast your vote, you have a clear understanding of what you're voting for.
And I guess in very short amount of time, what's the difference on the $100 million between the 160 and the 260? What do taxpayers get depending on which path the board might choose?
Yeah, at 160, that's really a true focus on the high schools. What's true for Vigo County is we have money that's under the cap, a significant amount under the cap that we would use to add to that 160 to address the high school needs. With the $260 million referenda, we would take the entirety of that referenda and apply it to the high school needs, thus saving all of those dollars that are under the cap so that we can maintain a 25-year facility plan for our elementary schools, for our middle schools. One, I would say, is focused on the high school. The other is focused on the entire community and provides a 25-year to 30-year facility plan for the district.
So currently, Vigo County Schools, you've got three high schools. How many junior highs?
We've got five.
How many elementaries after the Meadows decision?
After the Meadows decision, there'll be 15.
That's still quite a few elementary schools for a community of our size, isn't it?
But it's unique. Most districts our size would have 11. But you got to remember, we are a county school. We stretch from Hoosier Prairie to the southern part of our district, to Rio Grande, to the northern part of our district,
right.
From Fayette out in the west to Riley in the east. And so you have to, not only when you're making these decisions, you also have to think about how long is a child going to need to be on the bus in regards to going to school and from school. And so I believe here at 15, it's a great time to pause. But I think what this district needs to always continue to watch, even though that is four more elementaries than those districts our size have, we have to continue to watch the impact of ADM.
You've done some research and polling over the past couple of years, if I understand correctly, and I'm wondering, I guess, for those that might say, well, why don't you just build one new high school and consolidate more and try to cut some costs there? First of all, could you cut costs with one new school? But most importantly, does your research show that the community would even support such an idea?
Yeah, I would argue that a one high school approach does save you a great deal on operations. What is sometimes thought to be true is not, and that is with a larger high school comes larger class sizes. That's not the case. It's just more classrooms and more teachers housed under one roof. So from an operational standpoint, there's definite savings. But, you know, we've run multiple community meetings, and there is no desire in Vigo County to have one high school.
So the community would not support that?
They would not support that, no.
Okay. So, in other words, you've got to maybe spend a little more to maintain those. Was that a fair statement?
Yeah, I think from an operational standpoint, that's true. And then you have to think about the attraction factor. Are there different cultures and different identities in all three of our buildings? Yes. And so what we believe is that we offer a full menu of experiences for Vigo County.
Before we pivot to a timely topic, is there anything else you want to say about the corporation's plan over the next several years when it comes to taking care of these existing buildings and doing the upgrades that you feel are necessary?
Yeah, I think sometimes what's lost is the pay it forward process of public schools. When you think about public school, when you and I were in school, there were people that were on fixed incomes. There were people that no longer had children in school that were paying it forward in terms of their property taxes. And so they were assisting with the school buildings and the cost of those school buildings long after they had children that had left and grandchildren that had left. I don't want us to forget that we are in a pay-it-forward business. So even though I have two children that would no longer be in school, I still feel it is part of my obligation to continue to help fund and bring the best possible outcome for Vigo County in terms of how it delivers education. And I would hope that message, in sometimes a very difficult time, which we find ourselves in right now, that message doesn't get lost, and that we're still the country and the community that wants what's best for that next generation.
And to wrap up what took place earlier this week on Monday, I noticed that there's apparently a complaint from a parent that felt like there may have been some subcommittee meetings that were taking place that could have violated Indiana's open door policy. And I know that story got a little bit of exposure before your attorney had a chance to pretty much give some additional information and rebut that claim. And I noticed it on your meeting on Monday night, watching it on YouTube. Can you help explain to the community that... Do you feel like you did anything wrong when it comes to these subcommittee meetings, when it comes to the open door policy? Could you explain your defense of that?
Yeah, clearly we don't believe we've done anything wrong. The superintendent uses multiple committees. For example, we have a COVID task force made up of medical doctors, nurses that we consult on in regards to, do we wear a mask? Do we not wear a mask in school? Even the foundation of which the strategic plan was built, we had multiple committees built around curriculum, student services, human resources, excuse me. And so we feel very comfortable where our position is with those meetings. There are meetings that are established by the board. A policy meeting is a board-created meeting, which we did last night. So there are several board-appointed meetings that occur on organizational day. And then there's those meetings that I create to help bring forth a recommendation.
Let's talk about the obvious, COVID. The past 2 years, we've all had to deal with this roller coaster that we're on to try to keep everyone safe. Can you give us kind of your summarization about what you've learned and what you're trying to do now to keep the additional strains from infecting kids and keeping employees safe so you don't have to go back to remote learning and things like that?
If I've learned anything is that you cannot make plans 3 to 4 weeks out because COVID has a way of wrecking those plans three
Absolutely.
Or 4 weeks out. I mm-hmm. remember around Thanksgiving, we were talking to our board about, you know, as soon as we turn yellow right after the first of the year, you know, we need to talk about masking. Well, here we are after the first of the year, and Vigo County has turned red for the very first time throughout the pandemic. So it is something that we deal with on a daily basis. One thing that is affected us differently this time as in the past is bus drivers. And our bus driving crew has been hit pretty hard with COVID. It is our plan, as long as we can staff the buildings, to be able to have in-person education throughout whatever this next surge may bring. Right now, we have some buildings where we're on the edge of not being able to do that. So in our case, I would not expect a total district-wide e-learning, but by buildings in which we could not properly staff. But hopefully, 3 weeks from now, we see that this surge is ending and trying to get back to whatever the new normal is.
Right, and then you hope that another new strain doesn't come back and, yeah. and play more havoc with what's going on. And for those that may not be watching this closely because they don't have kids in school, exactly what is the corporation's policy when it comes to everything from mask and COVID right now?
So right now we are we're masking.
So that's employees and
that's
teachers,
everyone, yeah.
kids, the whole bit.
And once we turn red, that's also masking at our co-curricular activities. For our students in those co-curricular activities, we had asked them to be masked, but we thought fans, those coming to the ball game as a voluntary act, we would just recommend that you would wear a mask. But now that we've turned red, we're masking everywhere and anywhere.
Okay. Got about a minute and a half left. Is there anything else you want the community to know about Vigo County School Corporation that we haven't touched on, perhaps?
Yeah, I think what I think what gets lost is the academic portion of who we are. Excuse me.
No problem.
And so recently, our iRead scores, our third grade reading scores were posted, and it got kind of covered up, you know, because of COVID, because of other discussions. And when you looked at terms of how Vigo County performed on that standardized test, we were, for the amount of poverty in our district, we were just blowing that test out of the water. And what gets lost is the hard work and the dedicated work that our teachers put in each and every day. What gets lost is the work that food service goes through. Or right now, you can find the value of a bus driver. You know, maybe not thinking about them every day, but boy, we should be. And it usually takes a shortage for us to think about them. So very thankful of the staff we have and how hard they've worked. Boy, do I wish that there would be an end to COVID that would just give them a rest and a break that they so richly deserve.
Yeah, and you hope that what we've been through these past 2 years, it won't discourage people from wanting a profession in teaching and anything related to our schools, because they're so valuable and important to the communities.
Oh, that's exactly right. And to that note, we have partnered with Indiana State to try to create a grow your own pipeline, because we believe education is a great profession to belong to. It's maybe the only profession that informs all other professions.
I take it if someone has a question, they can go to the school website and send you an email if they ever want to touch base with you, I guess?
That is correct.
Okay. Well, Dr. Hayworth, thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to update the community. And again, we'll say again to the listener, this was recorded on Monday night, so we won't be able to give you the details on what happened on Thursday, but obviously I think that's airing on our newscast this weekend, so people will have a better understanding of what the board will come up with at this next important meeting this week. So thanks again, Dr. Hayworth.
Dave, thank you so much.
We appreciate you being with us today. This has been Focus on the Community for the weekend of January 16th, 2022, produced by the DLC Media News Center. For a download of this show and other past programs, visit any one of our radio station websites. I'm Dave Crooks, and thanks for listening.